shut it.
Welcome back to the Enjoy the Walk podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Really excited for the guest we have on the show today. California transplant, I guess you could call her. She made the move to the East Coast for some reason, which with this winter, I have no clue why, but maybe we'll get into that as well. But the host of Why You Suck at Golf podcast, as well as some many other things she does within the golf industry, which I'm excited to dive into. Happy to have Avery Dobsek on the show today. Avery, appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. We gotta address the big elephant in the room. You came to New York of all places from California. What made you make that move?
Great question. Yes, like you said before, I'm really not a fan of that decision right now, just because I had to shovel my car out of the snow, and I didn't have a snow shovel, so I was using like a dirt shovel, and doesn't work the same. It takes way longer to shovel it with a dirt shovel. So we got that figured out now. We got a couple of snow shovels. But I landed here from California to play for Hofstra University, which is a Division I school in Long Island, and also to be close to the city, which I do a lot of work in. And yeah, I mean, I was so ready for change. I lived in the same house my entire life back in Orange County, California, and, you know, said, why not move to the other side of the country?
There's a lot of people that that draw themselves into that Long Island area just because of the, I wouldn't say easy commute, but the close proximity to Manhattan and what is, yeah, you know, the lower side of what is bustling New York City.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 10 minutes away from the beach, and I'm like a 25-30 minute train ride to the city. I also work in the city a lot, so I drive in on Sundays because free parking. So, you know, I'm in a great location. I feel like I get the city aspect. I get like more, you know, not so city life. I get a little beach life. I love Long Island.
You might be a lifer, it sounds.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Sunny California. I'll take sunny California any day of the week than Long Island.
Yeah, it has its pros.
It's got to. You wouldn't be going back, right?
Yes, exactly.
I love it. Well, talk us through a little bit. You said you came for Hofstra, obviously to play some golf, but, you know, for the studies as well. You're gearing up for another season at Hofstra. Talk us the balance of your playing golf as well as working with the many organizations that you do.
Yeah, so I like to say I'm a little bit of a different breed in that respect. A lot of student athletes have convinced themselves they can't have a job. Me, I am juggling four at the moment. So there's that. Maybe I'm just a psychopath. That could also be it. But it's fairly easy for me. And I say that because I have had a job since I was 14. Like, I worked at a pizza place back in California. I was on the golf team then. I had, you know, social stuff, you know, school. I was in honors in high school. So I was already juggling stuff from a very young age. So when I got to college, it was a walk in the park. It was what I was doing already. And to be honest, college curriculum has been way easier than my high school curriculum, and as far as homework wise. And maybe that's just because I understand it and I like what I'm studying. But yeah, as far as balancing it, it's no doubt it's tough, but it's kind of what I really want to do. And like, these other jobs and stuff are so worth it to me that I need to just make the time. And it's kind of like a non-negotiable. It's like, don't be stupid, Avery. Like, don't let that opportunity slip by because you're busy.
Yeah, Dante and I have talked about that too, with just things in life, right? Like, when you get such a great opportunity, you almost can't make excuses and say, well, I'll see the next opportunity that presents itself, because you don't know if there is going to be a next one.
Yeah, you got to bend over backwards.
Yeah, I think you put it so well, that there's always opportunities in which you just have to have. And I think that's what it makes it so cool, is there's always really cool things within the golf industry. And I think you're doing a lot of them. Talk us through maybe that first opportunity that presented itself when you came to New York, and kind of how you've been able to capitalize on it.
Ooh, lots of them. So the first was, I was a freshman in college and I worked with CBS Sports at the Bethpage PGA Championship, which was huge for me, being 19 years old and getting to walk on the grounds at such a prestigious tournament. You know, being on the same putting green as Tiger and having a badge that gets me in all the tents and everything. And it was insane. And actually during that time, I had applied to NBC Golf Channel and I didn't tell anyone I applied. It was very, I didn't think I'd get it. I thought I was 19. Okay. I did have an internship in high school. Once again, I don't know who does that, but I did. So I didn't think I'd get it. I was like, worst case, I'll get some practice writing a cover letter, a resume. I ended up getting it. So I moved to Florida. I stayed with a random family and I worked on the show Morning Drive, which started every day at 2:30 a.m. So I was the youngest of all the interns, the youngest person in the building by far. And it was an incredible experience. And from that is where, after that internship, well, I did reels at the internship. And some local publications had written about it, publications like Newsday, some other newspapers, and some guys at PGA Tour Radio found it. And they said, hey, do you want to be on our show? So 19-year-old me goes into the SiriusXM, you know, building and co-hosts a show with them, which was insane. Like, I mean, it was literally like a dream come true. And I didn't even know radio was even an option for me. From there, that became into more of a weekly thing I did with them. So I co-hosted almost weekly. So I'd go into the city right across from Radio City Music Hall and the big building and saw, you know, think Pandora, or not Pandora, is that what it is? The music? Yeah. It shares the studio with SiriusXM and owned by the same people. So that was cool. At the same time, I was also working for CBS Sports in operations, doing NFL work. And then at one of our SiriusXM like pre-show meetings, I met someone from USA Today and we kept in contact, and he's actually a good friend of mine. And he said, you know, I think you'd really be good for Golf Week. So I started talking to them. I hosted a skills challenge with four NFL kickers in the summer, to which kind of transitioned me into part of the staff and as a contributor. So I now host a fitness series with them, write articles, and then, you know, I have my podcast. So we got lots going on. That was a really long answer. Sorry.
There's a laundry list. No. And I think the long answer is fitting. Cause I mean, you click the link tree in your bio and Instagram. And it is a laundry list long, but it's a laundry list of incredibly, really awesome content. It's episodes with Gary Player. It's episodes with Kyle Berkshire. It is your fitness material. It's your personal website. You have a lot going on. I think that's why we were so excited to have you on the show, is to talk about so many of those different avenues, because each avenue seems to be in its own right, really, really adding to what is a phenomenal time in the golf industry right now.
Yeah. And like, what's not in there is like, I'm training for a bodybuilding show right now. I work at a cycle studio. I nanny. And what else? Oh, I do something else. I don't know. There's one more thing. Oh, I teach golf in the Upper East Side. So it's like, I am busy, but it's all stuff I love, you know? So like a normal person would say, like, you do all this stuff. Like, are you crazy? Like, how do you have time for friends, you know, et cetera. It's like, no, I'm so passionate about it. It doesn't feel like work. And that might be because I'm still 21. And it's all still semi-new. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge as I get older, but it's everything I've done. You know, I've done now TV, radio, magazine, print. I love all of it, you know? So, and now we're exploring the Long Drive Avenue stuff. So that's also exciting.
Yeah. I think that's the avenue I wanted to really touch on too, is what, you know, what got you started in the passion, I guess. Have you always been passionate about fitness? And it seems like that's really a niche you've been able to carve, not only within the golf industry as you really do some content around that, but for yourself as well, diving into the bodybuilding and stuff like that.
Yeah. So most people go to a therapist and I go to the gym. So I don't know if that's a healthy outlet, but it is my outlet. And it's a time I take for myself every day. I train 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day, depending if I have extra cardio to do or whatnot. But yeah, I had always been training, but I wasn't fueling my body right. So I wasn't eating proper protein. So I wasn't seeing gains. And then I wasn't eating, you know, I just didn't know what I was eating. And why would I? I'm very young and who tracks food? So now, you know, if I was already in the gym that much, I was like, let's see what I could do if I really try to pay attention to my food. So now I just started prepping for my competition. I'm going to try to compete in June. and I weigh out all my food. I track my macros. And about a year ago, I decided I wanted to do this too. So I actually started prepping for a show. So I started dieting, and six of them got canceled on me. So a 13-week process turned into a 7-month process. And it was a series of dieting and reverse dieting and putting my body through hell. And then COVID just canceled it all. So now, if my fire was lit before, it's twice that now, because I'm so eager to get on stage, like not just to compete, but like, I don't know, prove to myself that I could do it, because I know I could do it then, but do it again. And it's like, I love the process, but then I got all this strength, obviously. I started going the range, and then I started realizing, okay, I'm actually swinging kind of fast. So that was kind of how that whole transitioned.
For those who are listening on just the audio platforms, go check out our YouTube. She said it got canceled on me with a smile on her face. You can tell that the fire's there, because you were kind of all too excited for when you said it got canceled on me, as if you're really looking forward to what's to come.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first off, like, I started in a good position last year when I started dieting, but now, like, I'm a whole different person. Like, I didn't even think I could lift what I'm lifting now. And I'm not trying to look manly, bulky. Like, this is a very lean type of bodybuilding. But I'm in such a better place. Like, one, I know how to track my food accurately. Like, before, if I didn't hit my protein goal by the end of the day, I would have to eat like 12 ounces of egg whites. That's so disgusting. Like, that is disgusting. So now I've learned to, like, okay, you know, I have all these hacks, like protein shakes or Greek yogurt with sugar-free pudding mix, or like chicken, steak, like so much more knowledge is under my belt. And like, my physique is completely different. So I think in a way it was a blessing that all that got canceled, because it really put me through the ringer mentally. That's for sure. But I am just like, my knowledge of the sport has increased. It's now a lifestyle of mine. It's not just like, oh, I'm just going to train for this competition and then like go back to my old ways. It's like, no, this is something I live, breathe. I love, you know, I get fired. I go to bed and I wake up, or I go to bed excited to train the next day, which is weird. Like, a lot of people dread it, have a tough time getting in the gym. So I started lifting. My speed started getting a little bit higher. And I recently just discovered this, like probably in December, January. So now if I could get on some outside grass and actually hit proper range balls, we might be able to, you know, be in contention here.
That flight across the country might help you do that, I think, next week.
Oh, yeah, you have no idea.
But something you said in there too, which I think is kind of, you know, can hit a greater scheme of people in the golf world, is you noticed your speed getting faster on the golf course, and you noticed an all around stronger swing. I think people kind of underestimate the power of lifting, even still today, as we see world number ones like, you know, Brooks Koepka, Roy McIlroy, and these guys, Dustin Johnson, even having a big focus on fitness. It's still kind of this stigma around the game, like, oh, you don't need to lift to be a golfer. It's like, no, if you lift and lift properly, and not just, you know, like you said, get really bulky, but lift to train full body, you can actually really see gains in the weight room and on the golf course.
Yeah. And like, especially like, your injury is going to be like, you won't have them. Like, ever since I started training, I used to deal with back problems and like horrible stuff. Now I have zero injuries. And you know, Kyle Berkshire, world number one long drive guy, he is also training for a bodybuilding competition at the moment. So, I don't know. I hope we could do some kind of collaboration, and talk about that, because that's really, something I feel like it hasn't been explored by golfers. And I think we're so young, and it's kind of cool. Like, we are paving a way. Obviously flexing in a sparkly bikini and, you know, board shorts on stage isn't traditional, for golfers. So, I mean, it's more than that. And I think it's awesome to educate golfers on the sport and how it can, you know, relate to their golf game.
Well, and I think you look at the game too, this is a first ever in the game of golf where you could even think about having that conversation of, well, he's a professional golfer, but you know, on the weekends, he also flexes on stage and is a bodybuilder. Yeah. This is the first time we've ever seen this kind of conversation happening in the industry.
Yeah. 10 years ago would have been ridiculous.
But it even goes with the conversation about how the game is changing on it. Like, I mean, if we won't go too in it that much, but the distance debate too, I mean, what you're doing right there is you're properly eating. Like you say, you're counting your food, you're counting the macros, you're measuring out the food, you're distributing it correctly. And then you're also training on top of that. So you're training a bunch of muscles that you probably didn't realize were utilized in the golf swing. And then you're also training muscles that actually the ones that are, so say you're not training, like, I guess like your back well enough, and then other muscles around you are kicking in to over the weakness of that, to oversee the weakness of that. Just goes to show, like, look at like what you're doing and Kyle Berkshire is doing, is you're crossing the boundaries of what you can do and taking the limits of what golf can really is. I mean, if you go back years before, that wasn't really necessarily done. They were just going out and playing golf. Now you got diets, exercise. And when you focus on those things, it changes your game tremendously, even with you not even knowing it.
I think it's transitioning from a game to a sport. And absolutely. I say that like very confidently, because I mean, hats off to Bryson. I'd love to get to chat with him one day, but he, you know, there's always been long drive guys. You know, that's no secret that obviously they lift, but Bryson put it into perspective that, you know, you can grind and get it out on the regular tour too and still be a good golfer. So to see that was like, okay, real golfers on the tour, like, are athletes. Now, you know, there was a lot of controversy, like at first, like, okay, he put on a bunch of weight. Is that muscle? Is that fat? Like quarantine 15, like all this stuff, whatever, but clearly it's working for him. And how are people going to deny, you know, if you're putting in the work, it's not just technology. Okay. Yes. Technology plays a big role in it. And it's growing every year and, you know, new stuff comes out, whatever, but why are you denying hard work?
Yeah. I mean, if you follow Bryson, he's the perfect example and the antithesis of that entire conversation, right? Like if you follow him on Instagram or follow him on any social media, it's the Thursday night at 10:30 PM, wherever he is, or the Saturday morning at 7 AM, 6 AM, 5 AM, where he's putting in the work. He's putting in workouts. Then he's going in speed training and then back to workouts and then recovery and rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. It's not a, like you said kind of earlier, it's not this like crash fad of I'm gonna get ready for this competition and go try something. It's this longevity approach of I'm doing this until I can't push it physically any further. And even to that comment, there's really no limit for him. He's continually trying to push the edge of what is possible for a human body. And that's what's so great to watch this journey for him.
And going back to injuries, you know, we see a lot of PGA Tour players get injured. If you go to long drive guys, you do not see them get injured as much. And Fast Eddie Fernandez said that he was like, ever since I started training long drives, my injuries are not there, because your body is so mobile and so used to twisting in these weird ways. That's, you know, I think a lot of golfers think like, okay, your spine is meant to move. Like your spine is not meant to move. Your lower back is supposed to be one of the most stable parts of your body. So when you train it at that speed and that amount of repetitions, it's going to learn to like give a little bit. You know, I think that was the best thing for me, is like, I remember I couldn't play a tournament because I was so injured. Like my hips would go out of place. And what that was is one side was weak, so the other side was trying to compensate, just like Dante said. And it was horrible. Now that's not even a question in my mind. My trainer was like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. And I was like, yeah, can you do cupping on my shoulders? He's like, that's it. I'm like, yes. That is it.
I love that. And whether it's because of training or you know, people really focusing on even just flexibility training and yoga, whatever it is, it's incredible to see what the human body is capable of, right? Like these old issues that you used to really plague you in the past are just no more because of proper training. And I think, you know, taking that into your up and coming season, let's talk about Hofstra Golf here for a second. You know, what's your expectations of the season? What are you really looking forward to now that you've kind of put in a lot of work that unbeknownst to you is really transitioning onto the golf course?
Okay. Well, I hate to let you down right now, and I'm letting myself down and my team down a little bit, but I do have to fly back to California to do some filming for work, golf related. Can't really say because of contract, but it's pretty cool. So I will be missing a couple tournaments. Now our schedule is like only five. So if I miss two or three, hopefully not three, but like my season's shot, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I have conference in North Carolina in April, which I for sure will be at. And hopefully some tournaments at the end of March. But as far as real tournaments, they're not. They're one day tournaments. That's not a tournament. That's a match. You know, that's like single schools. It's not the same. All sorts of regulations in place as testing. As a student athlete, it sucks right now. Every time we go to training, we have to get temperature checked. We have to fill out a questionnaire. We have to get wristbands. 25% of each team has to get tested every week. Okay, well, that's great because 75% of my team had it. So every week I get tested. It's not rough. I'm very blessed to be here. And I know a lot of people have it worse. But as far as a normal season, we are the farthest thing from it.
Yeah, I've seen that. You know, I'm a big college football guy, and watching the football season this past year was just wild to see the ins and outs of these people, these players, especially going into their facilities. It's a weird element that seems to have brought in a lot of, I would say, skeptics to say, you know, is this even going to be produce a true champion because of all the kind of weird elements going on right now?
I mean, even the adversity, Dalton and I were talking about this off camera, right before you got on. You know, him and I went to the same college. We graduated. It feels like yesterday, but it's been a few years already. And we just can't think how, like, it just sucks. Like, the way the situation we're in, and that the kids in college right now, like, and even high school, and what they're going through. I mean, the adversity that you guys are facing, like, I don't even think we would be able to handle that if you took us back in our heydays and the college world. But I mean, that's with what you're doing already, to also having to deal with that situation, trying, like, all these college athletes and all these scenarios that you have to go through. I mean, that's more power to you. I mean, I don't even think I would be able to handle that, but it's just crazy.
Can I tell you the truth is that it's been the biggest blessing for me. And is that selfish? I don't know, but
I would agree with you on that. It's like, not selfish.
I have had so many opportunities come out of this time because, one, people have had more time to, like, for, you know, podcast interviews. Never in a million years did I think I could send an email in the shower to Gary Player and get a response in 3 minutes. I sent it in the shower. Okay. That did happen. You know, I never thought that I would become friends with Kyle and play golf with him and, you know, and get to really know him as a person. Incredible. I didn't think I'd be working for Golf Week and being in school at the same time. Didn't think I'd ever get to, you know, Zoom with Annika Sorenstam and, like, all these crazy people that never would have had the time if there wasn't a pandemic. And even now, getting the chance to take classes remotely because of this pandemic has been incredible. I mean, the only thing that my life has, like, really taken a hit is my tournament play. I had a lot of time to improve my golf game, so I wish I was playing tournaments because I am playing great right now. but yeah, that was just huge. I had another thing that was, oh, for this bodybuilding training, friends don't want to go out to eat right now. So that's a huge social thing that I couldn't be a part of because of my training. So if nobody's asking to go out, it's like I could still be a part of everything because everyone's staying home.
A couple friends of mine who really take fitness seriously, probably a little bit more seriously than I do. Actually, not probably, definitely more serious than I do at the moment. Not saying I'm slacking, but they're very dedicated to, you know, their physique. They've said the same thing. They're like, listen, I've set goals for myself, and usually it's a grind because people want to go out. They want to have drinks, this, that, and the other. I don't have to. I don't have to really worry about those temptations that take me away from, you know, my goals on the day to day. And I think it's just been crazy. I know Dante and us have kind of, you know, and we thought about it too. Is it selfish? Is it not? But we've both really benefited and, you know, whether it's personally or with, you know, our brand or whatever, done well within this kind of shutdown. And because it's been the things, like you said, it's been the access to people that we never thought we've been able to have access before because of the extra free time of things really turning virtually. And I think if you've been able to turn a positive out of all of this during a crazy time in this world that we've had, you know, more power to you. And I think it really has set a lot of people up for success for not only this year and next year to come, but well into, you know, the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did not think of it, you know, why is this happening to me? Like, I definitely never had that thought. Everyone's going through it. Everyone, you know, some people had it way better, some people had it way worse. I was lucky to not have gotten affected by it in that respect. But no, it's been such a weird time. And me, like before this whole pandemic, I was working a ton. Like I work a ton now, so I guess I didn't really learn my lesson. But that pandemic told me, like, Avery, chill out. Because I would wake up at 5 a.m. to work at a cycle place. Then my shift would end at, like, I don't know, 11 or 12. Then I'd go to class. Then I'd go to practice. Then I'd go to the, like, Sirius XM. Then I'd have homework. Then I'd have training. I'd be in the gym at, like, midnight. I don't do that anymore. I didn't realize how hard that was on my body and how miserable I was. I wasn't miserable, but, like, my body was miserable. It was up for way too long. I didn't get proper sleep, which made me make poor nutrition decisions, which, like, made me, like, put less energy into my schoolwork, into my work, into my relationships, friendships. So I definitely slowed down. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I definitely did, because I'm not training at midnight anymore. More like 6 a.m. But, like, I like that.
that's a big take from it, right? Like, you find your self-care at the end of the day, and you find what should truly work for you. And at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of people that are, you know, I'm not saying there's a lot of people that do what you do, because you're in a whole mess of things and it's truly impressive. But for the people that are living that incredibly fast-paced life, there is a notion of self-care that I think a lot of us have gained from this kind of slower pace when we've all had to shut down and pour things out of a social atmosphere. You know, and it's been very valuable to a lot of people to learn that aspect.
Yeah. Like, I wake up early now, and just take time for myself. Like, my housemates don't wake up. I'll go on the treadmill. I'll start walking, you know, either go on my phone or listen to some music. I'm not in that rushed, like, urgent morning anymore. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that was miserable. That is not the right way to start your day. You know, have time to, like, journal if you're into that, or, like, I don't know, just think for yourself. Like, when you're rushed all the time, life sucks and life passes fast. Really reflecting on, like, days prior, or what you want to accomplish that day, like, you know, stack your wins. That's my big takeaway for sure.
I love it. Part golf podcast, part life help podcast we are today. So it's been a lot of fun, Avery. You have your podcast of your own, which, you know, I'd love to plug, because you've had some phenomenal, as you were saying, Gary Player, Kyle Berkshire. You've had some phenomenal guests. Where can people find you on the podcast, and then where can people find you as well, just to follow you on the day-to-day?
Podcast is everywhere. So it's called Why You Suck at Golf, Spotify, Apple, you name it, it's up there. It is not on YouTube because I don't do Zoom. I should, though. That'd be kind of fun. As far as following me, at Avery_Dovsek, if you're listening to the audio, it's AVEREE_DOVSEK.
Awesome. Well, we seriously appreciate the time. Enjoy that warm weather out in California next week. As I said before we started, bring some of it back to us.
I will try. Thank you guys so much. It was fun.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
One shot at a time.